As we look to God's Word this morning, please have your Bibles open to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. And we'll be reading just from chapter 1. And I'll read verses 29 to just 34 this morning. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. I'm sure many of us would admit that we need more faith sometimes. And Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's hear the word of the Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law, was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's just take this moment to, again, just look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And our prayer is, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We surrender our hearts to you now. We submit to the authority and the living power of your word right now. Spirit, lead us. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if we were to give this sermon a title this morning, it would be Being Jesus, Anywhere, Any Place, Any Time. And the opening statement of the Gospel of Mark really sets the stage for this book in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, if you have your Bibles open, you'll need to just follow along with me in your Bibles or the pew Bibles there. But in Mark chapter 1, it says, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, Mark is revealing Jesus Christ, who is God, who came to this earth. And why did he come to this earth? Well, we heard earlier from Angie and Leslie, he came to save people from their sins. It was to Mary that the angel of the Lord said, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1. And it was Jesus himself who said in Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus, coming to earth, fully God, fully man, he came in the form of a man to live a perfect, sinless life in order to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for sin. And throughout this book, the gospel writer Mark tells us, reveals to us supporting facts about this main truth from chapter 1, verse 1. Who Jesus is and why he came. And God goes on to state that the people should not be surprised of Jesus the Messiah, the promised Savior of mankind, when God's prophets have been proclaiming the coming Messiah ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the book of Genesis. And then Mark goes on to even quote from the prophet Isaiah, John the Baptist's role in preparing the way for who? The Lord, the Savior, the Messiah. And so Mark goes on to just reveal to us in the first chapter, not just that Jesus came, but what he began to do with his life as well. We see an important part about Jesus being baptized by immersion and being baptized in verses 19 to 13. In that section, we learn that, you know, Jesus was baptized not because he was needing cleansing or if he was sinful, but rather as an act of obedience to the sovereign plan of God. And so in being baptized, as we see Jesus being baptized in chapter 1, verse 10, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And so in being baptized by immersion, Jesus was publicly identifying himself with God the Father, and revealed his submission and surrender to him. His baptism publicly revealed his total submission to the sovereign will and plan of God to provide the means of salvation for humanity. And so then after his baptism, we learn in verse 12 that Jesus was led into the desert, where he was in the wilderness for 40 days, big difference, being tested by the devil. And the Lord overcame all that by saying, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So his baptism, his testing takes place, and then Jesus launches into his ministry. So we've almost seen, really, from chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 13, the presence of the Lord revealed, proclaimed. And now in verse 14 to 15, we see his message, the message that Jesus brought proclaimed. In verse 14 to 15, what does it say? Well, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Verse 15, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So wherever then Jesus went, he preached this message. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And in this message, Jesus preached that God was the rightful ruler of everyone's life, and that they all needed to submit and surrender to fall down before the Lord and make him king of their heart. His message was one of forgiveness. His message today is one of hope and peace and love. And since that time, all those whom God has called have proclaimed this message across the world. And I can hear it in many of your testimonies as well. The King is here. The King has come. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus is King. And when he is King of your heart, now you become part of his kingdom. Your life is no longer the same. And it's a kingdom that he is building, Jesus the rock, building his church upon the foundation of himself. Praise the Lord. And the kingdom that Jesus preached was not just about a moral renewal in my life or in yours. It was about trusting in God. It was about taking him at his word and believing in who he was and why he came. It is about living a relationship of dependence. A living relationship of dependence upon him. What did Jesus tell them to do in this message? Well, repent and believe. Meaning turn from your sinful ways and believe in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. And so we too must see our sinful ways and repent of our sins, which is turning to Christ and away from sin, receiving this message that Jesus proclaimed so clearly then and now, but receiving this gospel message by faith. You know, as we heard earlier and from the book of Acts, not only do we receive salvation by faith, but we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit by faith as well. And we walk in that daily. We must believe that Jesus died in our place, atoning for our sin. He was buried and he rose again in triumphant life. This is the way of salvation. So we must remain faithful then to share this good news of Jesus Christ. Later on in chapter 1, verse 17, what does Jesus say? He invites them, come, follow me. Come to Jesus. There's that message the choir sang to us. And then Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. This is the important part. Our responsibility, our obligation, what we're called to as the church now then is to share this message of hope for humanity with those around us, with those that are lost. Just being faithful, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we have seen his presence declared and his message proclaimed, but in these next few verses I'd like to share with you, we see now his power displayed. Because Jesus not only preached the kingdom of God, but we see now the power of the kingdom of God demonstrated where Jesus was, who he was with. So in chapter 1, we find Jesus inviting others to follow him, like us, to join him on his mission. And we learn more about what his mission is all about. People. Always people. If you like people or you don't like people, you have to know that Jesus was all about people. And so does your life have to be about people. Maybe some of you are small doses and some of you are bigger doses, but people have to be part of your life, okay? Let's just Get that clear because of King Jesus, okay? So following Jesus as Lord and Savior is about showing the life of Christ and sharing the life of Christ with others, especially the people next to you right now. In this first chapter, Jesus shows us what it looks like to be available. Available anytime, in any place, with anyone, in order to affect people for eternity. Whether they were young or they were old, whether they were sick or not well, or well. Whether they were rich or poor, Jesus does not hold back from any place or any person. Do you ever come across that in the Gospels? Never. Jesus always had time for everyone. And in verse 29, we learn that Jesus, join with me in verse 29, Jesus, he leaves the synagogue. He's had time teaching in the synagogue, and he goes to the home of Simon and Andrew. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Now, the New Testament records more than 10 occasions on which the ministry of Jesus took place in the synagogue. He was often in this place of gathering, teaching, and explaining the scriptures. And the synagogue provided a place for Jesus to teach and to minister through his words. And look at how people responded to his teaching in verse 28. What does verse 28 say? News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Well, why did it spread quickly? Because earlier in verse 22, it says the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. People were amazed at Jesus' teaching because of the authority and power in which he taught. You have to realize that his words were words they had never heard before, because they were words from heaven, spirit-filled and piercing to the heart and soul. And in verse 28, we learn that news about Jesus spread because of this powerful teaching. Not just because of his teaching, but because of his power over evil spirits as well, delivering people who were under this demonic oppression. And so the text says that they were amazed. They're amazed at his teaching and how he taught. What is the first thing that you do when you see something that totally amazes you? What do? You talk to somebody about it. Well, maybe you post it first on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat, right? But you get the word out. How many of you said or posted something about the snowfall this week? Come on, I'm sure some of you did. Look at how pretty my trees are. We post things. When something amazes you, I saw that a few times. When something amazes you, you tell people about it, don't you? Jesus is amazing. He's amazing every day. Do you tell people about him? So this is what happens. The news about Jesus spreads because of what he is teaching, what people are hearing, but what he is doing in making a difference in people's lives. So then all of a sudden, the word spreading all over Galilee. Jesus goes from the synagogue to a home. How wonderful for Simon and Andrew to have the Messiah in their home. What happens in verse 30? Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So while at Simon's house, we learn that Jesus is then informed that there is a woman who is sick. It's Peter's mother-in-law. And she must be pretty sick because she's bedridden. She can't get up, so she's not in a good place. What happens? Jesus hears about her, and Jesus goes to her. And a life lesson for us here is quite simple. We need to talk to Jesus about those who are sick, including ourselves. He is a loving healer in more ways than we could ever imagine. Jesus wants to hear from you right now. And he wants us to pray in faith for healing for those that we become aware of, but for ourselves as well. The inner healing that so many of us need, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And so as soon as they tell Jesus about her, he goes to her. And I love that about Jesus. Again, anywhere, any place, any time, Jesus responds in love and in power. In verse 31, we learn what happens. In verse 31, we learn about this miraculous healing of this woman. And how does Mark explain what Jesus did? Look at verse 31. So Jesus went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. This is what Jesus did for her, and her life was changed because of Jesus. This woman has an encounter with Jesus, and she is healed. Praise God. And perhaps you have a similar story. You met Jesus, and you were healed. You met Jesus, and you were saved, forgiven. You were set free from the bondage and shackles of sin. Praise God. But just think for a moment of how powerful it was what Jesus did for her. The text is pretty clear. Jesus went to her. He took her hand and helped her. But think more deeply now about that in connection to you when you met Jesus. Just think for a moment of how powerful it was what Jesus did for her and what he did for you and me. Think about this. Jesus went to her. Jesus came for you, for each one of you. He came personally. He came personally to be your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus took her hand. Guess what? Jesus took upon himself your sins and mine. He suffered and he died on the cross. And he was resurrected. We serve a risen Savior. He takes us by the hand and now he leads us and he guides us and he restores us. But not only did Jesus go to her and take her hand, Jesus helped her. And Jesus helps us. Jesus helps you overcome because he overcame sin and death, the enemy. God sent his own son, Jesus, to save us for eternity and make it possible for us to live a life free from the power and penalty of sin. Because of Jesus, we have salvation. So knowing what Jesus did for this one woman and what he can do for you and for me, do you know Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior? With Jesus, we see that he cared about this woman. He immediately heard and went to her in love and in power and saved her. He took care of her. And when we learn from, and what we learn from Jesus' approach to his early ministry in this passage, we learn that he was willing and he was flexible. You know, we live in such a segmented world and we live very segmented lives, don't we? We have our work life and we have our family life and we have our recreational life. We have a time for this and we have a time for that. We have our routines and we have our schedules. But would you say that you are flexible and willing to change when unexpected things happen, or when the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something that it wasn't part of your plan? It's important to ask ourselves these questions. Are we being open to being used by the Holy Spirit, even if we have made some plans, to help people around us? We can, again, become very segmented and boxed in that we miss opportunities to serve and to love people and to bless people in need. So let us be very careful as followers of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ here today, that we don't get stuck trying to stick to our own schedule. Making note of Christ's life. He heard about this woman who was in need. He goes to her and he helps her. Let's not miss loving the people right in front of us, right beside us. We can learn from Jesus in so many ways to love and to serve and to bless anyone, anywhere, anytime, and in any place. To love them in Jesus' name and to serve them in Jesus' name. So much of it starts, again, by giving our life back over to God. Making our life available to him for his purpose and plans. That will give him such great pleasure when you do. He will give you opportunities to love people and to help you become more aware of people in need of blessing. So today, from Christ's life, be encouraged that God can and wants to use your life to edify and to encourage, to comfort, to save those around you. God wants to use you. And there are times where it's time for you to spend time with him figuring out what that looks like this week. So it could be that God already has told you who to go to, whose hand to take, and who to help. Will you then do it? Whatever it looks like, start by asking God today, what do you want me to do this week? Who do you want me to serve in Jesus' name, to love in Jesus' name. Look at what happens to the woman after she is healed. Again, back to verse 31, just at the end. We can't overlook this point as well. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. Look what happened after this woman was healed. As soon as Jesus healed her, she began to wait on them, meaning that she started to help serve others, including Jesus in Simon and Andrew's home. If we were to draw a principle from this, it would be that just as Peter's mother-in-law used the healing strength and power of Jesus, that Jesus gave her to do good things for others, so we should devote what Jesus gives us to doing good for others in Jesus' name. When God breaks into our lives, we are to give our lives back to Him in worship and in serving and in loving. She was blessed, and now she became a blessing. The last portion of our text in verses 32 to 34, you know, Jesus' night did not end there. In fact, it was just the beginning. Whether He realized this would, how many people would show up or not, it was just the beginning. Because with the word out, and as Mark says, the whole town showed up at the door. People were brought to Him who were sick and demon-possessed. And He told the demons to be quiet because He did not want His true identity to be testified by demons. They weren't going to speak at all. But people who were physically and mentally and spiritually sick were brought to Jesus. And what did Jesus do with them all? He healed them. He set them free. This is why Jesus came. And as He preached about the kingdom of God, we see now more and more in Mark's gospel the power of His kingdom being demonstrated upon the world. People came to Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is coming in power over this town in Galilee. Our prayer is that the kingdom of heaven is coming over in power over Campbellford and surrounding communities, into many lives, into all of our schools and our hospital. And people came and they were healed. And that's how Jesus is. He wants everyone to come to Him because in Him and Him alone is abundant life and wholeness. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to You, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this testimony in Scripture of Your powerful presence changing lives through teaching, through the ministry of Your word, through the ministry of Your presence and Your healing power in this woman's life. We thank You, Lord, that You show us in Your example, in Your model for us, that we are to go to people. We are to take their hand and to help them. God, there is so much in this passage we can learn about how to follow You each day. God, sometimes it's someone just might need a hug, and that would be all that they need to know that they are loved. Just in any day, any given day or week. Lord, help us to be open to being used by You. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your patience, Lord, with us. Lord, we seek You first now. Lord, may You be the one and only true thing that we seek with all our heart, soul, and mind today and every day afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen.